Hey y'all, I'm Sammy, your host of the You Were Made for More podcast. John 10:10 is a promise that Jesus came down to earth so that we would have life and have it abundantly. My prayer is that this podcast and all of the content that we put out would remind every student that they were made for more, simply because of who they were created to be. My own walk with the Lord and my relationships with the teenagers that I disciple have shown me that once we understand whose we are, the game changes. Or in other words, transformation happens. Our identity changes everything. We recognize that it takes investment and partnership between the church and parents to raise teens who know and believe who they are in Jesus. And we're here to help. So buckle up as we take this journey and take a look at what God has to say about friendships, relationships, sexuality, dating, and all the things in between. Welcome to this episode of the You Were Made for More podcast. This episode is a little bit different, but also pretty special in the month of June as we celebrated fathers on Father's Day and everything that it means to be a dad. Being a dad can look so different for so many people, but there are so many ways to do it well when we look at what the Bible says about fatherhood, how God models fatherhood for earthly dads. And I wanted to bring on my husband, who is a phenomenal dad, and also one of his very good friends and fellow podcasters, Seti Conway, who is about to be a dad in a few months and thinking about what that means for him and his family and preparing to be a dad. That's such a special time in somebody's life. So I asked them to come on the podcast and have a conversation about the importance of fatherhood and why God thinks that's important and why it's so essential to the family unit that a present dad is there and how we can encourage the dads around us. So I hope that this episode will encourage you, bless you, cause you to ask some questions about how you can adjust or pivot in your own family and that you would learn from it.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. If you are hearing my voice, then you immediately recognize that I am not Sammy Gallo, but I am married to her. My name is Juan Gallo, and I am here with my close friend, Seti Conway. Seti and I work together, are in ministry together, and on this episode, where we will be discussing the importance of fatherhood, listeners, dedicated podcast listeners may know that Sammy and I have three children and one more on the way. And Seti, you and your wife, Sarah, are expecting your first here in September, which is very, very, very exciting. And so we are certainly no experts in parenting or in fatherhood, but we have both been fathered to some degree and now are continuing that journey, raising our own children, but also are Christian men and have been so for a really long time. And so we have a biblical perspective on this and a way in which we understand the world and through the lens of faith. And I should also say that Seti and I, along with our friend Jeremiah, we also have a podcast called The Upside Down Podcast, where Every episode, we discuss three questions that each of us brings to the table that usually has to do with something, the intersection between just faith and life, day-to-day, big topics, small topics, all that type of stuff. But anyway, Seti, thanks for being here. I'm excited for this conversation. How are you doing, man? How are you feeling?
Well, I'm doing great. I mean, weather's finally turning from where we're at, getting a little hotter, maybe a little too hot, you know, some would say.
I'm knocking on wood over here because the rain has been relentless.
Yeah, it's been bad, but hopefully, you know, it'll stay clear for a while. But no, I'm doing good. I'm excited to talk about this topic. It's extremely important. Like you said, honestly, could be one of the most vitally important things in our lifetime on this side of heaven. So I'm excited to talk about it.
Yes. So we'll jump in. But yeah, at any point, feel free, because I know you are a man of much wisdom. And so at any point, feel free to jump in and take us in a direction that you might feel the Holy Spirit leading you or speaking to you. I kind of wanted to first kind of start off in a more personal way and just kind of through reflection. So the first question that I had for both of us to answer is, can you share like a fond memory that you have from like growing up with your dad? I can start while you take a second to think on that. Mm-hmm. But so I should also say that like as we begin our discussion, like one major difference here in the things that we talk about, at least when it comes to our upbringing, is you were raised by a Christian dad in a Christian home and a Christian family, whereas I was kind of brought up Catholic, but not really with much of a faith to speak of until I met Jesus when I was about 11 or 12. Mm. So there's that. But and my dad worked a lot, you know, and we have definitely an interesting background in childhood, moving from Colombia to the United States and, you know, being immigrants and learning life in a completely new place. And so I remember my dad working a lot, you know, and of course, I mean, just like trying to survive, man, trying to make it, you know, any way you could. He did all kinds of jobs and eventually kind of found his niche as a like long form like truck driver. He drove all around the country, drove constantly from like South Florida to New York. And so he'd usually be gone quite a bit. But like, yeah, the first thing that popped into my mind that I really remember fondly is like I think Saturday mornings would often be his time to like catch up, whether it's on chores, things around the house, or a lot of times he liked to just run errands, you know. You know, again, yeah, do little things here and there that he maybe didn't get a chance to do throughout the week. And so oftentimes that would be a special time for us together, because he would grab me, you know, we'd hop in the car and just ride all around together. And, you know, I was like really little, so it's like you can almost barely even see like out of the car. Mm-hmm. But so it was just, you know, being with him. I couldn't really even tell you things we talked about very much, but it was just spending time. One of my passions for music kind of came from moments like that, you know, like the radio would always be playing. My dad would always be like singing these old Spanish songs. And it really, you know, for me, like filled in a lot of like my musical background, which is very diverse. And a lot of it came from moments where I was young, like the radio always playing in the house or those car rides. So I just remember maybe really looking forward to that. And kind of, there's a lot of memories that I have of just being sitting in the car with my dad. You know, he likes driving, so we'd always have somewhere to go. And so Yeah, just those Saturday mornings, I remember. Yeah, that was fondly. What about you?
Yeah, no, that's awesome. My dad also, he worked a lot. And so those moments where he was intentionally just spending time with me, and I also grew up with five siblings. I have nine siblings now, but I grew up with five siblings. And when you have a dad that works a lot and then like you have five siblings, and so he has to put his time into everybody. Those moments where he just spent time with me and was intentional with me were very special. I think growing up, anytime he was willing to play catch with me, baseball like was the big thing. I wanted to be a great pitcher whenever I was a young kid. And so the times that he took to actually, he was the catcher and I'm like practicing my pitch, he's like, throw it harder, you know, and stuff like that. And just having a good time with that. There's also just like random things that like I picked up, like, you know, talking about like car rides and stuff. I don't know why, but a memory that's coming to mind is just us driving in the car together. And this is whenever heated seats came out. They just started, and it was in the middle of the summer. And we would play tricks on each other where we would turn the heated seat like on high with the other, yeah, to the other person. And then it would take like 10 minutes. My dad would be like, my butt is so high right now.
And I'm over there sweating.
Yeah, right. And I'm over there laughing. And so, because he did it to me first. And so we did it back and forth to each other. I just remember that. I don't know why. So, yeah just stuff like that. Very fond memories.
One of the things that strikes me, even as we share those things with each other, is like when you are little, and again, I have a 4-year-old here, soon to be 5. And one of the things that strikes me, you know, in my interactions with her, that reminds me of when I was little, is like when you are young, all you want is just time with your, mm-hmm, with your dad, you know. And it tends to be that dads are the, maybe not so much today in 2020, maybe not as much today in 2025, but still, and definitely in the past, you know, dad was the one that was, you know, more so out of the house, working, doing things. And so it was like that time that you got with him was really valuable, really special and meaningful. And it's like, that's all you want. When I'm with my 4-year-old, she could care less about what we do. I mean, one of our favorite things is just going to the dollar store, because I can just be like, get whatever you want. You know, we'll load up the cart, load up the basket. And it's just a fun little thing, you know. And there's cooler things that we could do. But like yesterday it was raining, you know, we wanted to do something else. So it was like, hey, let's go to the dollar store. And it's just time. Like, that's all. She doesn't care what we do, like, mm-hmm, at all. She just cares that we are like that, you know, we're spending time together, that she has my attention, that I'm present with her. If we're home, you know, and she wants to play a game, like, she just wants me to really be a part of her life and of what she's doing. And I don't always, you know, hit the home run with that. You know, sometimes I might be distracted or whatever, but I'm aware of it. And I try, you know, to remember that, and yeah, to give her that time, that attention as much as I can, that presence. And I think a lot of people miss out and then are impacted in a negative way when that is taken away from them. You know, when fathers are not in the home, for sure. But then even if, you know, if the parents are married, but the dad is always at work, or even, you know, maybe he's working at home, or he's just distracted, you know, the father does not prioritize, you know, and is not, maybe doesn't have that awareness or that understanding, you know, that is extremely, extremely important.
Yeah. I mean, there's no fond memories of me playing catch with my dad while he's on the phone, you know, like, mm-hmm, or you know, things like that. Like if we're driving, I've never had a fond memory of like he's on a business call while we're trying to go to, you know, soccer practice or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so it is that pairing of, yeah, you're there and it doesn't matter what you do, but you're also present and you're, you know, you're focusing on your kids. And we even talked about this, you know, we're in a marriage small group, and we're even talking about that with our spouses, right? It doesn't matter. Like where we're at, but as long as you are paying attention to me while I'm talking to you, it means so much more than if you're just like playing video games, watching a TV show, and like I'm just going off telling you about my day. So that being present and intentionality is so important for sure.
Yeah. I think it's super relevant because, you know, for men, for husbands, and for fathers, we still feel, you know, this societal. It's societal, but it's also partly, you know, how we're wired, how we've been designed, right? We want to support, we want to protect, we want to provide. And so there's often this pressure that we put on ourselves, right? Of we got to go out there, we got to work, we got to hustle, we got to dedicate so much time, especially maybe when we're in a place where, you know, maybe financially we're not where we'd like to be or whatever the case may be. There's often this pressure, right? And unfortunately, oftentimes it's, you know, trying to pursue material things, you know, for my family to have this big house, for my children to have all these toys, for us to be able to go on these vacations. And so the sort of the lure of the world and of society often is like, just work, 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 you know, hustle, do as much as you can to build, to grow. And sometimes, a lot of times, that actually then makes for a father who, you know, is it still in the lives of his children or maybe still in the marriage, but is not really there, is not really present. And so I know for myself, those are thoughts that I wrestle with sometimes. And I've often, you know, talked with the Lord and also with my wife and with myself of like sort of surrendering some of those areas to the Lord, trusting in him, doing as much as I can, but not at the expense of being absent from the home, you know, not at the expense of never having time for my family or for my children. And so I know that there's a lot of things that I could be doing out there to make more money, you know, but it, to me, it's just not worth it. A lot of what it would require, you know, to give up. You know, I had a job before the job that I have now where like I was traveling like 8 to 10 weeks out of the year. And as my daughter started to get older, it was like, nah, there's no way I can do this. You know, like I'm missing so much. So I think that's something for any fathers, you know, or husbands listening, you know, to just be aware of, and maybe to bring that, you know, if you relate, to bring that before the Lord and to just weigh that carefully, right? Because the time that we get with our children, especially when they're small, especially when they're being molded so much by our interactions and our time together or the lack thereof, is so important. And so ultimately in the long term, you know, even in the scope of eternity, we know that making a few extra $1,000 a year or whatever, or having a bigger house, you know, those things are simply just not as important as, you know, these years with our kids, investing, pouring into them, giving them as much of ourselves as possible, because it has a huge impact. And also even for, it makes, like it makes the fathers much happier too, like much more mm-hmm. satisfied and fulfilled, right?
And that's the big lie of the world, you know. It's like, don't put the cart before the horse. A lot of people, the way that our society and Western culture is set up now, it's like, okay, first establish yourself, right? now you're a young adult, and the most important thing in your life right now is your career, right? That's the lie. And once you get your career and you earn a lot of money, now start looking at your family. And so it started looking for a wife, then wait even longer, then have kids. And then once you have kids, then a lot of people are like, okay, well, let's go to church. It's a good influence. And so the entire process is like backwards, right? Going from the least common denominator to the greatest. And I want to encourage people, the most important thing in your life as a Christian right now is being in the presence of the Lord. That's number one. Spending time with God, right? The Bible says, Jesus said, love the most important commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your strength, and love others as yourself. Those are the two most important commandments that you could ever follow. And so love God. That'll make you the most satisfied in this life. The second will be to love your family. There is nothing else in this world that will give you satisfaction than loving your family and loving the people around you. And then the cherry on top is your career. If you make more money in your career, if you're prioritized right, that's amazing. I've seen incredible fathers and families who make tons of money, put their family before their career, and the money just enhances their times with their families, but it doesn't create the times with their families. So just making sure, don't put the cart before the horse. It's a recipe for a miserable life.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I think that I feel like I interact with a lot of people who deal with a lot of confusion when it comes to these things, right? And like wrestling with these ideas. And to that, I would say, like, what brings clarity is the Word of God. Like like you said, being in the presence of the Lord. But as a husband and as a father, you know, you are charged with the responsibility of being the spiritual leader in your home, right? So you have to take a hold of that and really be so immersed in God's word. Because honestly, again, in times where I've wrestled, where maybe there's been an opportunity that I have to consider and weigh, you know, and in the balance is like, how are we going to pay for my children, you know, the kids' education and these expenses. And, you know, there's this job that pays more. What, you know, we all have these moments. The thing that has provided me clarity in those moments is God's word, to ensure that I'm prioritizing the right things and not, like you just shared, I'm not prioritizing the world or the messages of society. And I think that for a lot of people, there's so much confusion because those two things, they've allowed them to bleed into each other. And so you confuse worldly wisdom for biblical wisdom, which is often black and white. You know, so like knowing, you know, the book of Proverbs and throughout has so many good things to say about parenting, about marriage and about family. And so, you know, if you're a father and a husband, it's your duty to be the spiritual leader in the home. And, you know, that starts with one, being on your knees in prayer in the Lord's presence. I can certainly do way more of that. But also just knowing God's word and being in God's word on a daily basis, right? So that can be the lighthouse, you know, in your life as the seas start to get choppy, you know, and it gets dark and cloudy, foggy, and it gets harder to see, you know, what it is, what's the right thing to do? How do I navigate this decision? It's like the word of God and his Holy Spirit, right, speaking through his word and through us seeking him, does provide us with guidance to be able to prioritize properly and make wise, godly decisions that have an impact on our families. So I have another question here, still kind of staying with this theme of reflection and kind of looking back, what, especially for you, Seti, as you look ahead to this journey that you're about to embark on, what did you learn from your dad that you want to pass on to your children? What's just one thing that you feel like your dad taught you or that you picked up from him along the way that you are like, I definitely want to instill this or pass this on to my children?
Yeah, great question. So there's one that immediately came to mind, which is the most subconscious one that was not purposeful that my dad passed on. He made a lot of money in his time, and he definitely had nice things, but he was never materialistic in the way that you know how some people care so much about their things that if something gets like damaged, they get really angry about it because like, I spent a lot of money on this. I worked very hard to get this, but he was always even keeled. Like if he bought some expensive steak for dinner, but then I went and I ate his steak, he's like, oh, was it good? Like, did you like it? And I'm like, yeah, it was great. He's like, oh, okay, great. Like he didn't care that I just took that away from him, you know? Or, I mean, when I was 16, I crashed into his nice Lexus twice in the driveway. And both times he didn't shame me and he didn't like freak out. He wasn't angry. And he just never really cared about the materialistic things, but he liked nice things, but he just didn't hold on to those things. Like they were making him happy, you know? Mm-hmm. So hopefully, and I definitely have that now, like if something breaks of ours, I'm not freaking out. Like, I don't care. It's just a thing, you know, we'll get another one. Who cares? So there's that. And, a love of worship I got from my dad that I'd like to pass on. I mean, I'm a worship director, and so that's kind of obvious, but being so like filling the house with worship music all the time and just making sure that's the air that our family breathes is, is worship instead of things of this world. So yeah, those would be the two things. Yeah.
Those are good ones, man. That first one, it's convicting for me. I think I'm becoming, I think I am like that in some ways, but it's also harder for me. It's not that I'm attached to material things. It's just, it's kind of like the other side of the coin. You know, when you growing up, I became aware that like my parents had to work really hard for like the things that we had. And so, yeah, as I got a little bit older, it's just like kind of like an appreciation for those things. And so I find myself now sort of trying to pass on to my children, like just an appreciation and like gratitude and like a respect for things, you know? But not to the point of like, yeah, like you said, shaming them or making them feel bad, you know, if.
Yeah. 100%. If something breaks. Yeah. Like I think learning to take care of your stuff, I wish I would have had that more, but I also appreciate the fact that like, we're not holding on to things. I would like to hit the balance of, hey, this isn't yours. You know what I mean? So we take care of things that belong to other people.
Yeah.
But whenever something does happen, inevitably, how do we react? You know, are we getting so angry because I paid a lot of money for that thing, you know? Yeah. So trying to hit that balance for sure.
Yeah. And I think that, I see, you know, parenting little videos and clips that come up on my social media, and some of the ones that sometimes get my attention are the ones where the person is describing like, hey man, like kids are messy, you know, like there's gonna be spills, They're going to break things. They're going to disorganize, you know, your drawers and your closets and things like that. It's like, just, you have to let them be kids. You know, you can't sort of prevent them from exploring and from being curious. I think we're having a little bit of lag. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, like you said, it's just a balance of, you know, yeah, maybe having a consideration for and a respect for, you know, things that are not yours, but at the same time, you know, remembering that they're kids and you can always get new stuff. You know, you can replace pretty much anything. And it's important for them to still, you know, maybe be disciplined for doing something irresponsible, but to still be loved, you know. And mm-hmm. So for me, what I learned from my dad that I want to pass on to my children is two things. So like my dad in our family still is, he's like, I mean, the best word or the best symbol to like compare him to and to describe him is like glue. Like he's just this person that has a way of like connecting people and like bringing people in. Like, you know, my parents divorced and my dad kind of like went away. But when we were together, like he kind of kept our family together, our extended family too. Like my mom's siblings, like everyone was always in our home. We were always together. Like it was really, it's a really important thing for him, you know, like keeping people close to him, connecting with family. He's always like calling people, checking in with them, which I'm terrible at. But he's always been like this glue that just like brings people together. He just has like this magnetic pull. But I think he's just also intentional about it. So like, I really love that about him and like admire that and, want to cultivate more of that. You know, I think for me, it's just looked different because I've grown up more with like my friends being my family rather than, you know, a lot of my family's kind of like just spread out all over different states, different countries. I'm still connected to a lot of my friends from home. So in some ways, and I think even now, like from growing up, it was just me and my sister, but now my kids will have many more siblings. And so continuing to emphasize for them, like unity and being together always, you know, being strong in that sense will be like really important. And then the other one is like, kind of like leadership. My dad is just a very, you know, he's not a perfect man. He's made his fair share of mistakes, but like, he still within that has like this really high, like honor code, leadership, where like, he's just very respected. Like he has like a, so I admire that too. You know, just like a lot of integrity and things like that, that I would like to pass on to my kids as far as like how they carry themselves, how they think about themselves, how they treat others are like some really, really good things.
Well, that's good.
This is a bit of a harder question, but so what did you learn from your dad? What did you observe or that you wouldn't want to pass on to your children?
How about you go first? I mean, if you have something.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's
yeah.
So again, part of this is like for me in my journey as I've gotten older, you know, I definitely had a lot of issues with not like with my dad, but also like just with the past and things that transpired, you know, him and my mom getting a divorce, him, you know, kind of being out of our lives for a really long time, legal trouble that he got into. So there were a lot of just things that in my late 20s, early to mid 30s, it's been a lot of reflecting and looking back and kind of viewing those things in a more accurate way so as to be able to let go of some things, forgive for some things, understand things now, no longer as a child, but as an adult. So that's been a whole journey of going through that. And I say that to say that maybe some of the things that I might say, like, I don't want to do that like my father, there's no remorse or resentment there, like, anymore, you know, because he was just a person, a man doing the best that he could. You know, he had a father, and that, you know, whatever that relationship was like, and he had a past and an upbringing, and, you know, everybody's just doing the best that they can. Thank God for us who found Jesus, right, who can change all that, right, and restore and just completely change our trajectory. And he's definitely done that for me. But so looking back on that, I would say one is, yeah, maybe some of that mentality. I mean, my dad was an immigrant. He was trying to do everything that he could. But maybe getting to spend more time together, you know, rather than maybe working all the time and things like that. So maybe that one, I feel like that's something that I'm doing differently. And then the other one is kind of like, so my dad is always like, he's very expressive, you know, and kind of even poetic, like very articulate, very well-spoken, very cultured, intelligent. And so he's also like affectionate and again, expressive, you know, always to this day, you know, just like always telling me and my sister how much he loves us, how much we mean to him, you know, that like we're his world, we mean everything to him. Like he's always kind of been that way. But then this is one of the things that I really struggled with was like, but then I look back at decisions that he made, right, that impacted, you know, his ability to be in our lives. And it was like, well, when I look at those decisions, it seems like you say that we were the most important thing in your life. But if I were to analyze that decision, it doesn't seem like it. Because if we were really the most important thing in your life, then maybe you wouldn't have done that. You know, you would have realized how much we needed you or things like that. So, and again, I'm sure there's other factors, but that's just the way that it looked to me and the way that I've processed it for a long time. So I say that to just say that, like, between me and my children, I don't want them to just hear me say that I love them, right? I want to be able to like show them my love through the decisions that I make, through the choices that I make, through the sacrifices that I make of like really, you know, putting them, you know, after God, of course, you know, just talking here relatively, but like really putting them first, you know, before myself, at least, you know, and always doing everything that I can within God's power and his strength to like do everything that I can for them. And so, yeah, not just having them hear those words all the time, but also kind of like demonstrating it and proving it, you know, with actions. It's like there's a lot of stupid things that I did in my past, right? Like, you know, drinking a lot, getting drunk, you know, smoking weed, things like that, that I, as a Christian, it's not really good to be doing those things. But then as a parent, it was like, I don't want them to see me that way. Or that was a big factor, you know, the Lord used conviction about those things with my children. So it's like, you know, daddy gave up gave up those things. You know, not only were they not healthy, not only were they not Christ-like, but it was like, that's not who I wanted to be for my children. You know, so does that make sense? Like, it's these ways in which you also, you're not just saying the words, right? But you're like demonstrating your love.
Yeah. And I know that's a big thing that my dad had an issue with his dad. You know, it's like he says these things, but his actions, you know, he seemed to care more about his TV watching than, you know, anything else. So, no, that's great. I think for me, my dad definitely was and still is a workaholic. And with that comes passivity, I think, in the home, where he's just expecting things to be taken care of, because he gets so gassed, like, at work, that he didn't really have much time for us at home and stuff like that. So, and it's not just the time, it's also the effort that he would put into some things, and even taking care of like normal things. And so I'd say it's those two things. It's not working too much and not being passive in the home. Like, I'm gonna like be at my kids' baseball games. I'm gonna make sure my wife is loved so our marriage stays together. I'm going to make sure that she feels valued, which is extremely important. If you want to help out your kids, do everything you can to not get a divorce. I think we can both attest to that. So, yeah, just being very intentional and not wearing yourself out at work. I think, and we talked about this before, like, as men, we're meant to chase after purposes. We're meant to, you know, try to conquer things and stuff like that. But we need to find this balance between making sure our family's good and going after our hopes and our dreams and stuff like that. So I'd say those two things.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, the final question that I have here really is, what do you think is a father's most important job? And that's a big question, so don't feel like you have to, you know, provide this all-encompassing answer. But yeah, just what comes to mind when you think of a father? What do you think are the most important jobs that a father has?
Well, immediately, you know, you have to think of what was God the Father like in the Bible, right? And I'm thinking about the Israelites right now, to where it's protection, it's guidance, it's grace and mercy, but it's also discipline, right? And so just hitting that balance of all of those things. Did you say one? I did not give one, but
that's great. Yeah. I just think it's interesting that you're like, that your thoughts took you to the Israelites. Cause that's not my first thought, but I see where you're coming from. And I think, yeah, I like that. It's very, very fitting. There's a lot to unpack there. Because that's like a father and like worst case scenario of child, you know, where he just exemplified so much patience and love and grace towards this people that just couldn't help themselves, you know, and just did. So yeah, that's an interesting one. This is not serious, but like, I love Michael Scott and what he said, where he's like, let's see, do I want to be feared or loved? I want people to be afraid of how much they love me. And I think there's genuinely probably some truth there, because I do think there's so many layers to this question, right? And I have one answer, but, you know, some of the layers are like, I do think that it is important, and maybe it's just my background, my upbringing, but also a biblical perspective where I do think that there has to be this element of fear and like respect, you know, in order to provide, right, like the appropriate guidance or discipline for kids to know, you know, like why they should stay away from certain things. And I think, you know, the Bible speaks to this about, you know, like not sparing the rod, not spoiling the child, you know. So I do think often that falls on the father to be that that presence of like, you know, discipline and guidance, you know, and like this is right and this is wrong, because kids are trying to figure that out, right? And they need someone to help them to understand that. But that's not the most important thing ultimately. I mean, I think for me, and again, I do need to grapple with this and understand it better, because the most important thing for me is, you know, for my kids to know Jesus, to love Jesus, to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. And yet, ultimately, it's not up to, you know, like only God, that's the work of the Lord, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit. But I think that fathers and wives and a marriage together, like the work is to present that to them, you know, to have the Lord and his ways and his life, you know, and the church and faith, just to be so cultivated so much in their environment for them to be like engulfed in it, to provide them with a good and healthy example of it, you know, to show them what it is to walk with God, to teach them how to pray, to instill in them a love for the Word of God. So it's basically like, as a gardener, right, to just cultivate the ground, right, to take care of it in every way possible, and in such a dependent way on God, you know, like on your knees, praying for your children and for your family, praying for yourself for wisdom and for guidance and discernment. So it's like, yeah, just being cultivating it in such a way that hopefully the Lord will use that to draw them to himself, right? Because you can say that that doesn't matter and God's just going to do what he does, but there's a lot of examples where it's the opposite, right? Where maybe you talk a lot about God, but like your life doesn't reflect them in any way. And it totally turns kids off, you know, and it just sends them running in the other direction. And so I've witnessed this modeled in such a way where like, and it does have to do with, like you said, that, you know, answer that Jesus gave to what is the greatest commandment. It's like, so you as a father have to love the Lord, you know, more than anything else, then yet love your wife, you know, more than yourself. And then obviously love your children. And if everything that you do kind of like follows that again, and particularly that first one of loving God, then, you know, that's going to pave the way for everything else. But yeah, I mean, at least that's, again, I don't have everything figured out, but what we're trying to do, you know, what I'm trying to do and what we're trying to do in our marriage is to, I guess, present and invite our children to partake in this life with us, where they get to see and taste and hear and feel like 24/7, you know, that God is real, that he is like that, and that our everything in our lives revolves around him and is for him, and that, you know, through the lessons that we learn and through the moments that we share, you know, in our life together, that hopefully there's enough there that God can use, the Holy Spirit can use to lead them, you know, to walk in his ways, to make that decision for themselves, you know, at some point. That's a lot. That's a lot. But
no, it's good. I think to sum that whole thing up, it's avoid hypocrisy. Mm. Like if you have integrity and you avoid hypocrisy, you will save yourself from so many terrible things in your walk as a husband and a father. Because kids sniff it out. If you proclaim that you love Jesus, but you're an alcoholic and you want to spend more time drinking than you do with your kids, or if your kids see that you don't treat their mom very well, you know, they sniff it out, and then they associate awful things with God, actually. And that's when you run into trouble, rebellion, and not cultivating the ground as you should, as you were talking about. So that's really good.
And I think, like, no one can avoid hypocrisy 100% of the time, right? But it's like at least being real, you know, being real and authentic and being like, because they, again, like you said, they'll sniff it out. Even my 4-year-old is like, you know, she'll call me out sometimes. You're like, you did this, but you had said not to do that. She'll just ask innocent questions like that. Like, well, why did you do that? And then, you know, sometimes it's like, I have to be real. Like, oh yeah, well, daddy made a mistake, you know, or, you know, and here's why. So,
That's great.
And then I was, I had a good, profound closing thought. This is what happened. This is what happens to me, bro. This is why, like, I will never be able to get to the point of, like, preaching without a script, I don't think. Because I can go off on a trail and then forget where I was, you know? And, like, that would be a nightmare on a stage, you know, preaching. But,
it's a dangerous game.
It always comes back, though. No, what I was going to say is that one of the beautiful things that I've discovered so far in parenting that has really surprised, you know, it's just been really cool to see, is that for us and our family and with our children, I've realized that it's not so much about what we say to our children, right? Or that we drag them to church, or that we tell them, like, you must love God, or this or that. It's not so much about what we're saying. It's more that, you know, when children are young, they're uncovering their identity, right? And they're first and foremost looking for it through their nuclear family, right? So it's like you instill in them what their identity is, you know, like who they are in the world. You pass on values and ethics and beliefs and faith, and you don't, again, if you're just trying to pass that down by the things that you say, but it's not what you do, that's the hypocrisy and that's the lie and the disingenuousness that they sniff out, and that actually repels them from faith, I think, one of the reasons. But if you're saying this, but, you know, they also see that it's not just what you say, like what you are saying is who you are. You know, like, I love the Lord. I talk about him all the time. Everything that I'm trying to do is for him. And now, like, so, like, my life is walking in that direction genuinely with my wife. And we're just bringing our children along with that. And they're just seeing that. Does that make sense? Like, what I'm trying to articulate, that as I've now looked at this journey that we're on, I'm realizing that, like, oh, it's not so much me teaching them these things, it's me just kind of opening up, like, this is our life, like, this is our reality, like, this is just who we are, this is who you are, this is who you were born into, right? And God is not, like, just something that we learn about, and it's our whole life. You know, and so, it's a whole different thing I think to be just when God is not your whole life, he's just something on the side and you're just trying to teach it to your kids. Something else is going to take that place, right? And they're going to be able to understand, like, well, understand what your priorities really are, what truly matters to you, what's really important to you. But, you know, yeah, so I think as Christian parents and as fathers, it's, yeah, I really think you kind of hit the nail on the head there with that idea of hypocrisy and like being authentic, because ultimately then it just comes down to your faith and your walk with the Lord, you know, and if that really is genuine and authentic and that's who you are and that's where your heart is, then you are just going to bring your children and your family along for that ride. And I think that a lot of the times God is very faithful to us in that and in then drawing our children to follow in those steps as well. But when that's not the case, then I think that's where kind of chaos ensues.
Yeah, 100%.
Cool, cool. Well, I wanted to, I guess in now closing with this idea of the importance of fatherhood, which again, like I said, I would never claim to be an expert. I know you wouldn't either, but I think there's a lot of value in just sharing our perspective and our experiences and our, you know, knowledge and wisdom and understanding. But I wanted to even just maybe close it up with this reality, right? And these sort of statistics, it's not statistics, but it's facts, you know, research-based facts from the National Fatherhood Initiative at www.fatherhood.org. And this was, I believe, from 2024, which is titled The Father Absence Crisis in America. Research shows when a child is raised in a father-absent home, they are affected in the following ways: greater risk of poverty, more likely to have behavioral problems, greater risk of infant mortality, more likely to go to prison, more likely to commit crime, more likely to become pregnant as a teen, more likely to face abuse and neglect, more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol, more likely to suffer obesity, and more likely to drop out of school. And it says that at the time, nearly 1 in 4 children were without a biological step or adoptive father in the home. 1 in 4. Which actually leads me to just say that, you know, there are men out there who are not married yet. There are men out there in marriages where they can't have children or whatever, or even, you know, people who are married but just don't have children, or people who are married and have children, or maybe their children graduated college or are older now. Like, I think there are lots of opportunities to be a father to a child that is not your own, right? And that's through discipleship, through mentorship. And it's so important because, especially for godly men who have so much wisdom, and whether they have the time or just have the ability to make the time, I think it's of extreme importance and value to look to be able to invest and pour into, you know, young men who may, particularly those who don't have a father in the home, because the odds are stacked against them, you know, and so you can have a great impact in the life of a young man by just doing the things that we said, right? Like just being present, showing interest, spending time, you know, passing down that wisdom and guidance and things like that. So not having a child in a way is not really an excuse. You know, there's opportunities there to look out for the least of those, you know, as Jesus said. And so that's, I think, a good word and a good message for all of us, and something that I think pleases the Lord. So All right, Seti, I think we've done a great job here, man. I appreciate your time and your thoughts and your words and your just willingness to kind of go on this journey, reflecting back on times with your dad and what that has meant for you, and looking ahead, you know, to your journey. Excited for you, and it's awesome, dude. It's the hardest thing and the best thing, and I'm excited to kind of get to watch that from the side. I'll obviously also to be there for you in any way that you need, but I'm really excited for you guys. So thank you, and hope everybody enjoys this episode. I'm sure Sammy will be back soon. Thank you for listening and for supporting her. And remember, you can catch Seti and our friend Jeremiah and I on our podcast called The Upside Down Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. But thanks for listening, and take care. God bless.
Juan and Seti had such a good conversation about fatherhood. I actually want to take a minute to just promo their podcast. They have a podcast. It's called The Upside Down Podcast, and it's them and another one of their good friends, Jeremiah. And what they do on that podcast is just open up space for real deep conversation about big questions, big topics, through a biblical lens and a Christian worldview. So they cover a bunch of different topics, but they do a great job of focused dialogue and drawing people into conversations that some people avoid. So I will link to their podcast in our show notes. I encourage you guys to check it out, to subscribe and follow along with that.